You're listening to the Music Manual Podcast for January 22nd, 2012. Learn more at musicmanumit.com. Hi, and welcome to another Music Manumit. I am Tom, and with me is...
Doug.
There you go. You didn't know I was going to not say it, did you?
No, you kind of slowed down a little bit.
Because I was trying to think of something catchier, but then I was just like, I know, I'll just have him say his name. Or maybe yeah, I was just kind of doing the, you know, like the elbow nudge. Like, and with me is, wait for it. So.
Well, it is catchier when I say it, so.
Okay. Anyway, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
Are you back home yet, or are you still out in Baltimore?
No. I am in Baltimore. Wendy is still at the hospital, so no interruptions today. Although she might get home in the middle of recording.
Okay.
Which might be an interruption, except she knows I'm
recording. Assuming you mean she's working at the hospital.
Yes.
Okay, so she didn't like get injured, go to the hospital, and you're like, well, I got to record a podcast.
Yeah. So priorities, babe, priorities.
Right.
I can't record this in the hospital. Are you crazy?
You could. It would it might not be distracting.
Yeah, no, I probably could.
In this day and age you can record it anywhere, you know?
Yeah, no. Well, not anywhere, but you know, like internet might be too slow if it exists.
You could do Skype over your phone though.
Yeah, but hospitals are gigantic buildings and cell phone reception is not always wonderful in gigantic buildings.
I suppose. So, if you just don't want to do it, that's cool with me. You're under no obligation to do it in a hospital. So I'm not trying to convince
reason,
you.
You are in a hospital then.
Yes.
But I am not in a hospital. I am in Federal Hill in Baltimore.
That sounds like a prison. Federal Hill sounds like a prison.
There's a hill and it's called Federal Hill.
Okay. Well it sounds very authoritative.
Well, it's just because it's got the name Federal in it. I don't know why that it's called Federal Hill, but I'm trying to read on Wikipedia here.
See, there you are with the lightning Wikipedia. I knew it was there.
It doesn't immediately say why that it's Federal Hill. But it is 87.3% white.
That's an interesting factoid to have on there.
Well, you know, they always have demographics on here. It's just, I guess maybe not all cities, but they always do on, like, states and stuff.
Okay. I thought you meant Wikipedia in general, and I was like, I don't know. I don't usually run across that on Wikipedia.
Well, on Wikipedia for the states, they always have the demographic information, and I think on cities.
You go there enough that you would notice that. You look up the states on Wikipedia that much?
Yeah, I mean...
Apparently. I mean, it sounds like it. Enough that you would be able to reference, like, well, it's on here a lot for these.
I'm pretty confident about it, yes.
You are. You are. That was a man talking in confident. Confidently. I was going to say talking in confidence, but that would make it sound like you were talking secretly about it.
Yes. And it wouldn't be like in, I don't know, I'm thinking like client lawyer privilege, because I'm not a lawyer.
Right.
I say that a lot now, or this is not legal advice.
You also, I've noticed, say allegedly a lot more, but you still say it ironically.
Yes.
Like you say it like, I know I'm supposed to say this, but come on.
I think I will do that for the rest of my life.
Probably.
I'd be like, is he saying that seriously or ironically?
Right. Well, because you'll say it after the fact. You'll go, well, you know, I mean, allegedly.
Yeah. Well,
that's usually the way. I think in the last show you did that a few times and I noticed that then. I think that's how it came up. Speaking of that too, I see in the notes here that you wanted to mention something about your I said that kind of Canadian, about your sister podcast. Would it be a sister one, or would this be like maybe a distant cousin podcast?
Yeah, I don't know. I think this is the granddaddy of them all, if you will, taking it from the Rose Bowl. Our Wisconsin listenerage audience might know about that. Those that actually know stuff about sports.
I was going to say, I'm right here in Wisconsin, and I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah, so the Rose Bowl is the granddaddy of them all because it was the first bowl game. And actually, we should just jump right into my picks this week since I did bowl picks.
Okay, and then we'll go back to the other thing that you were talking about. Okay, continue on.
So for those international listeners, most of you are probably aware that we have this thing called the Super Bowl, which is like the biggest event in the U.S. I think it's pretty safe to say, you know, like 100 million viewers or something like that, like a third of the country. But college football, and I mean American football, gridiron with helmets, not soccer, they also have bowl games, and that's actually where it started. The Super Bowl didn't happen until, I think, 1967. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. Late 60s. Right. But do you know who the first Super Bowl winners were?
That one I do know. Yes, that was all. It was all Green Bay, and then what's his name? Lombardi. Sorry,
but close.
I know. Yes. I meant to say Lombardi, and I was. It was one of those things where, as I was saying it, I was like, I know I joke about the guy's name because a lot of times I've mentioned before, I come from a sports family. I know sports. I just don't care for them. So I actually have a knowledge of it. So I love, but I love to play it up. Like, you know, I love to irritate my friends by calling it the sports ball and things like that, you know.
Like, that sounds like a gala.
Yeah.
Like something where you dress up and like.
But I'm referring, well, it depends on how I'm using it. Like sometimes like the Super Bowl, I will call the sports ball. And that it makes people mad, and I love it. So I'll do things like that on purpose, or talk about like Lombardi. I usually say Lombardinos, and I'll say like that. But then as I was saying it, I was going to give you the right answer, and I was.
Do you
in
also
my head.
Say? Do you say like, you know, the pizza guy or something like that? Right. That would be great. That would be great.
Yeah, but as I was going to say it to you, I was going to say it seriously, but then in my head I had to go, okay, now don't say the joke name. So I was thinking, I know it's shorter, so I said Lombard because I knew it was shorter than Lombardinos. So that was why I do know that, yes. So, and I know that none of my friends listen to this podcast, so I can still keep the joke alive.
Oh,
by...
you should change that, Tom.
I should, but most of them aren't into music and junk.
How can you not be into music?
I don't know. And the ones that are, they don't care about like the, I mean, for the most part, we're more for the musician. I mean, we're, of course, for the support of sharing music and fans being able to have it as well. But I think a lot of what we talk about is more on the creation and what to do with it side.
And that's
true. And I think that is one reason why a lot of them don't listen to it. And then the other guys, the guys in my band, well, I tell them this shit all the time. So
they're just sick of hearing it.
Yeah, they don't need to hear me talk about it again where they can't talk back to me. So, but anyway, back to what you were saying. We were talking about the basing it on the bowls and your picks.
Yeah. I mean, you know, none of the tracks had anything to do with sports or American football in particular. But they all had something to do with the name of a particular bowl, mm-hmm. Or a team playing in it. So I had Oklahoma, and that was the only one that was a team that was playing for the University of Oklahoma. But I really like Cotton Fields by Cletus Got Shot.
I like Cletus Got Shot. I think I've played them a few times on the show as well.
I don't think you have.
No, maybe you have. I know I've seen the name.
Yeah, I have. At least once, but probably a couple times. Mm. I played them on the punk cast as well. They had they have a song called, I think it's Fight On.
Yes.
Although I think that's the name of the Dan Lynch song. So I'm not sure if it's the same. There might be the same title, but anyway, it's about fighting. Yeah. But it means like, you know, like a struggle sort of way, not like punching people. But but they talk about being like punk rockers in a country band. In that song, and it's like a minute and 42 seconds long, you know, sort of got the punk ethic going, but it's clearly like, you know, a folk punk track and not, you know, not the Sex Pistols or Minor Threat or something like that.
So, right.
But yeah, I definitely like them, and they've got a couple other tracks that would definitely blur into the sort of the folk punk category. And briefly on the topic of folk punk, not to go down this line very long, but I've been listening to a lot of quote unquote records recently.
Yeah.
Which, if you remember, Joe Powell from Copyleft told us about them. And they've got some good folk punk on them. So there's going to be a lot more punk from like the whole spectrum of punk, from like grindcore to like, I guess, just folk punk and acoustic punk on the show, because I've really been digging into that during the break. But anyway, always good to have some Tchaikovsky, Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy, there. And Professor Click making another appearance on the show.
Now, I saw that when you put that on there, because I take our list and I download the stuff and put it on the, or put it together. Now, when I was looking at that, I wasn't sure, but is that a new thing? I didn't recognize the artwork for that one. I don't know if he just had different artwork, if I'm not mistaken, if I'm remembering correctly, or I may have saw another thing that he posted.
I'm trying to, I'll have to look at the date real quick. The answer is no.
Okay.
But it sort of depends on your frame of reference there, because for a long time, this one was not on Jamendo.
Oh, okay. Maybe
it
that's
is
why.
Newer. Yeah. So it was released April 17th, 2011. I think that he talked about it the last time that he was on the show.
Okay. Because I don't remember seeing this artwork. That's why I didn't recognize
it. Well, this is the soundtrack
For that movie. Okay.
Yeah.
And he said he was going to be releasing it. Okay, that makes a lot more sense. Because he was talking about, like, he did it for the movie, and then he was going to be releasing it later
on. Because I thought he had been on again since the release of this. But maybe we just didn't talk about it.
No, he was on to talk about that, I think. To talk about the movie that he did. Or the soundtrack to the movie.
I didn't
know that he was going to be releasing it as an album. Or I didn't remember.
Yeah, well, it was actually already released, or at least according to Jamendo, it was already released.
Right.
Because it was released April 17th and published May 8th on Jamendo. And we think we had him on in like June or something.
Possibly. I think you're right. The artwork threw me off because it's the first time I've seen it.
Yeah, well, it's in the scheme of Professor Click, it is the newest album, at least of those on Jamendo, and I think, period. I don't think he's released anything.
And the other thing is, it is a very long song.
Yeah, so that's why I only had five tracks this week, because it's like that one's like 10 minutes long.
Yeah,
so.
But I was very surprised at that when I saw it, and I was just like, holy hell, yeah, that's like 10, 12 minutes long.
Yeah, so then I wrapped it up with some punk to, you know, after having the 10-minute sort of ambient electro song, I figured we needed to wake people up.
Oh, funny. Yeah, I would like to point out one thing just in general as I was looking at the songs that I put on there. And I remembered today when I was on the Free Music Archive, funny header that when I read it, I was like, you could read this a different way. So on the homepage of Free Music Archive, there is a post for right now. It's, you know, the 12th of – or it's not the 12th of. It was posted yesterday, 12th of January. And the title is Box Complete Organ Works. So that's the way I read it. Now, so basically it could be like he's dead, but all of his organ works. You know, that's the way I read it. The way it's worded is it could be interpreted that way, correct? I mean, I thought that was funny. Box Complete Organ Works. Like, not just half of it, not a part of it, not, you know, but it does work. So, anyway, but it's actually about his works written for organ. So, organ, you know.
Separately, they don't work. It doesn't work. But complete.
I don't know. It's a good organ
with
joke.
With your
Come on.
Powers combined. You are Captain Organ.
With these healing hands. No. No, come on. So anyway, I thought that was funny. I saw
so
that.
You're like going like the Baptist preacher sort of realm, and right, I'm going still, to Captain Planet. I don't know what that says about the two of us, but it says something.
You did Captain Planet. That's funny. See, now that was,
you didn't even catch it, did you?
No, I didn't. See, Captain Planet was okay. I luckily got to miss out on that one. Like, even though I still watch cartoons to this very day. Okay. Full disclosure there. I luckily missed out on the whole Captain Planet.
No, dude,
time.
Captain Planet is awesome.
Well, because I stopped, basically didn't have a TV around as much when that came out, because I had first moved out of my parents' house, and then, luckily Dexter was too young to want to watch it during that time when he was born, so I got to miss out on that a little bit. I saw it from time to time. I think once it was on when I was at the laundromat. Okay.
You should watch a couple episodes. Pretty good stuff.
I'll see what I can do. I'll Netflix it.
Yeah.
So now, basically, my choices for the music show last week were they were all just ones that I was just listening to stuff, and I was like, oh, that's nice. Oh, that's cool. So no real, You know, the Kinder guitar one, I believe that's how you pronounce it, by Marco Rapoport. I've played him before. He's actually got a bunch of stuff on Free Music Archive. Mortal Beats, I think I got that one. That one was posted somewhere else, or somebody had linked to it, and I went to it. But then I was just listening to stuff, so it just went from here to there. I mean, I have Epic Dub on there, which I liked putting that on there because I still like to remind people dub is not what they think dub is these days. Dub music was actually a reggae thing to begin with, and now it's just a wow, 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 wow. You know,
well, that's dubstep, though, isn't it?
Right, but still, when people hear dub, they think dubstep. Like, when I heard dubstep, I thought they were saying, oh, it's like dub music. And then I heard it, and I'm like, oh, that is not dub music. So,
but my understanding is that it was in the lineage of dub.
I know. My understanding too. That's what I'm saying is I think that's what it is. I don't get where that comes from. I don't get how it is. I'd love for somebody to tell me if it is related, and if so, how, or how it got from there. But I've watched tutorials, like, you know, how last time I said I've been getting into Renoise a lot more, and I watched a tutorial on how to do some stuff, and a guy did a thing on how to create a dubstep sound, how to create that. And interestingly enough, he used, just for fun, I think, I don't know if he did it on purpose or what, but he used an actual, like, copyrighted song to do it. Because what you do is you take, like, 1 millisecond of a song, and he just pulled one up and then chose 1 millisecond, and then you just have that thing repeat so it makes a clicking noise, and it's like, drr, drr, drr. So he was using, like, some actual paid-for song. He just needed it as a sound. And then what you do is you add a bunch of effects to it and slow it down, and then all of a sudden that's how you get that whoa, 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 wow, wow, wow. And all it is it's the thing, it's the millisecond repeating back and forth at different times.
I need to send you a video on dubstep.
Okay.
I'll post it in the show notes. But Wikipedia says that the stylistic origins of dubstep are dub, grime, two-step, drum, and bass. That's genre, drum and bass, not the drum genre and the bass genre.
Right, yeah, there is, because okay. Before that there was drum and bass, which even that I was still a little confused with, because the first thing that I listened to that was called drum and bass had trumpet in it. So I was very, very confused. I don't know if maybe it was just mislabeled or whatever, but it was cool. But I don't know. It's a whole different thing. I like the stuff. It's just I don't get the names that they're coming up with, and either I'm just missing it, or I don't know.
It says the earliest dubstep releases date back to 1998 and were darker, more instrumental dub remixes of two-step garage tracks attempting to incorporate the funky elements of breakbeat or the dark elements of drum and bass into two-step, which featured B-sides of single releases. So it does have the word dub in there in that definition once.
I see. And then, one other thing I wanted to point out too from the songs that on the song Oh We that I did, the second song that was on there, the curator for it was actually Frostclick. And I've talked to you about Frostclick before, which is more of they want to be the BitTorrent based, the music BitTorrent sort of site, or not site, sort of site slash software, Frostclick.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's supposed to be like a torrent iTunes is what it's supposed to be, but they actually promote Creative Commons music sharing. But, not more of an iTunes, but more of the LimeWire for, you know, Creative Commons music. So, and I think I mentioned one time too that, like, they didn't used to be, but now they're doing that because they got in trouble for just being what they were when people were cracking down on Morpheus and, you know, LimeWire and all that other junk. So they were like, no, we're Creative Commons. So I'm paraphrasing this whole thing, but that's what they're really into now. And I think they just released a new mix thing on the 4th. A mixtape for Frostwire. So they're one of the curators. They're a fellow curator on the Free Music Archive. And I just thought that was interesting. It's
comrades.
It is neat that they're doing that. I will admit I don't use it that much. But it's cool, and I'm glad that it's out there. I'm glad they're trying to do something. You know?
Yeah, I downloaded those two. There was an A side and a B side, and I downloaded them. And I think there's gonna be some stuff probably from me on the shows in future weeks.
Cool.
About that. But I don't have I did spend a lot of time over the break getting some of the music shows ready to go, queuing them up for the semester.
Yeah.
I didn't get all the way through, but I'm pretty sure there's going to be some of the stuff from that FrostClick. So hopefully you don't beat me to it.
Right.
Then I'll have to go around and change some stuff. But I may have gotten it from your pick. I may have gotten it from you. I'm not sure or not. But
yeah, because the OE is on side B.
Yeah, I don't know if I did or not, but because I was going to Free Music Archive a lot. But I did download that and I listened to it, and it was they had a lot of different stuff.
Yeah,
kind of all over the place.
Well, yeah, because it's not like a net label or anything; it's a music sharing source. So there really is no, you know, choice to what gets put on there. Although I suppose it being a mixtape, you know, they can choose what they want to put on there. So
yeah, I'm sure that it reflects the sensibilities of, you know, like there wasn't, I don't think, a lot of like poorly recorded, I mean, lo-fi things in there, if I remember correctly. Speaking of lo-fi, I know you're not like huge into like extreme metal or anything, Tom.
Right.
But there's a collection, Stone Age Records, the guys that I'm trying to get on the show.
Yes.
From Indonesia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Pretty sweet. Not every, there's a lot of stuff from Indonesia on their net label, but not everything.
Okay.
But there's a bunch of stuff from this band called To Die.
Yeah.
And they have released everything. I mean, like cell phone recordings that people have done at their shows.
Oh, neat.
Like they're like albums and albums and albums of this To Die stuff. So you should you should definitely check that out if you want, if you're in for some, you know, exceedingly lo-fi metal recordings. They have like two or three anthologies in there. Like the Stone Age Records, I think it's from like released 44 through release 51. So there's like seven releases. And in those releases, there's album collections in like two or three of those.
That's crazy.
So like, there's just like tons of music from these guys. And so I recruited Craig from Open Metalcast to help me go through there. There's one of the anthologies is four zip files full. It's like they couldn't, like the zip file was too large to zip it all together. So they made it into five.
Wow.
So I was like, yeah, this is going to take me a while. So why don't you help me out with this? I don't know if Craig's discovered anything that he's going to put on his show. Cause you know, I think he's a fan of the high fidelity. But yeah, so I'm looking at, Stone Age Records number 47, To Die, Stereo Wrecking Rehearsals. So they've released the recordings of their rehearsals. it says, if you're a worshiper of high fidelity recording techniques, well, this one isn't a recommendation for you.
Yeah, so, I wonder, I'd be curious to know how many of those actually get downloaded, or if it's pretty much, because I mean, we record all our stuff to have it too, but we just kind of keep it on our own personal wiki for our use, you know, like so we can listen back to it and go, what the hell was that one song we did again? We don't really release it, but I mean, I suppose there's nothing to stop you from releasing it. If people don't download it, they don't download it. But I'd be really curious to know what the statistics or the analytics for the downloads on that are. Plus, where are they saving all this stuff if they're that big? You know, if the archives are that big, where are they hosting it?
So this one, so you got to remember that they're a grindcore band. So a lot of their songs are like 20 seconds long.
Right.
Or, you know, their keywords here are grind, hardcore, noisecore, noise, grindcore, sick grind, noise grind, screamo, primitive, experimental, mental grind, whatever the hell mental grind is, anti-music. That's just on this one, on this other one, they use grind, noisecore, noise, grindcore, raw. They also have tagged it, the Stone Age Records has tagged it as annoying as one of the keywords, which is awesome. So it's like, yeah, it's annoying if you listen to it forever and ever and ever.
Right.
But yeah, for the fans of the lo-fi, there's a... a lot of stuff there, and probably not a lot of the super lo-fi stuff will get on there, but
yeah,
I'm really digging some of the stuff from these guys. So
cool.
But anyway, so I think we've made it back to our beginning now.
We have.
So this wasn't really so much about the LawCast as I was gonna just say Nick, and then, you know, of the LawCast, of, you know, Radio Free for All, pointing me to this place that's really cool called Red Emma's in Baltimore, and so I'm probably gonna be checking that out a lot, and I'm gonna be, I think, over the next couple of months trying to sort of make connections in Baltimore, and I don't really know what all, you know, how things are gonna go during the summer, but I just wanted to get it out there early that that's a place, you know, so, you know, people that in Baltimore that, you know, are part of that scene will definitely know where Red Emma's is at and, you know, what it is. And
well, what the hell is it?
Well, it's an info shop. It's a coffee shop and bookstore.
Yeah.
And they had some pictures from all the protests in Wisconsin there.
Oh, really?
But I think part of my sort of doing this in Concord too. Nick and I were talking about doing a big shindig for Earth Day.
Oh.
And we don't know what we were going to do, but we were just like, you know what? We've got this podcast. Let's do this. Let's do something for Earth Day, even if it doesn't have anything to do for, you know, with music or law. So I was like, well, you know, Tom and I have been talking about doing a show for a long time. So maybe this is the time to do it. You know, that brings it in towards music. We can get some guys who do Creative Commons music, and we can have like an Earth Day gig.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know if that part's going to happen, but what is probably going to happen at the very least is Nick and I are going to get together with the guys from the Cyber Unions podcast and just talk about Earth Day stuff, probably protest songs, and maybe not just protest songs. I mean, there's plenty of pro-Earth music that wouldn't be considered, you know, a protest song. So we'll probably talk some about that. And Nick's got some background in environmental law. So it's not completely rooted in, like, us just, you know, having a party. It's we might actually have some intelligent conversation about it. And Steven over at Cyber Unions was pretty excited about it. So I'm trying to get as many people involved as I can, because, you know, I'm going to have all summer to sort of do things with the show.
Yeah, you got summers off now, don't you?
Yeah. Well, and not only that, though, but, like, I'm going to be doing podcasting full time this summer. So the opportunities for what, you know, what can happen are going to be pretty huge. And so, but I'm going to be limited if I'm trying to do it all myself and I'm not sort of trying to coordinate people.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I can get, you know, some people producing content, and then I can sort of be the backbone for that, then I think that there can be a lot more content to be put out there. And I don't know what all that's going to be, and we don't need to waste, you know, any time more on this.
Agreed.
Show talking about that. But I am going to have a post up on the LawCast about some of the stuff that we're doing a little more detailed. So, if people want to get involved, they can hit me up. Did you have anything, Tom? You said you had one thing.
I had one thing that I found kind of interesting. It was just in passing. It was just a let me get the link here. Just a kind of a funny article. Kind of has to do with the thing that we've been talking about the past. Well, that a lot of people have been talking about, which is the SOPA thing.
Okay.
And let me put the link down there for you so you can check it out. If I can get in there. There we go. Now, on Torrent Freak, there was a somebody had found out that someone at the IRAA, or RIAA, yeah, I said that correctly, okay, was actually downloading illegal music using a BitTorrent client, because one of the IP addresses was for the RIAA. So basically, they said someone must have hijacked our IP. Now, that is the argument in almost every goddamn pirating case against, that is the argument that they use to the IRAA every time. when somebody, they're like, you've been downloading illegally, and then they go to sue them. The first argument is that their IP address must have been hijacked. So the RIAA gets cut doing it, and they're like, someone must have hijacked our IP address. So I just found this whole article very funny. So the article is titled RIAA, Someone Else is Pirating Through Our IP Address. And the article is just kind of a funny read, watching it go to them. And I thought it was funny. It's total nerd funny, but, they talk about how it showed up, and there's even a printout of what the, you know, the origin name, the origin ID, the address where the IP was coming from, and all of it's, you know, it's the who is printout of it. And it says that it's coming from the Recording Industry Association of America. And the funny part is in the picture that they use, the song they were trying to download was Jay-Z, American Gangster. Or the album, I mean, not the song. So somebody, I'm wondering, though, if it isn't just some idiot, like, temp that works there that doesn't know any better, and they're like, well, I can do this because I work for the RIAA, so we own this, right? And I'm just speculating here, but that would be so funny if that's what it was. They're like, oh, I thought we owned all this stuff, so I could just download it, right? And they just happen to load it on their computer, because I've worked at places with computers, and people load all kinds of crazy crap on their computer. I knew somebody that was torrenting tons of crap when I worked with him at one place. Like, he had LimeWire installed. He had other things that, for some reason, names I can't remember. He was downloading movies and things and keeping them all there, and then he ended up getting fired, and they looked at his computer. He had partitioned his hard drive. He was trying to figure, because he heard that I like to run Kubuntu. And he was apparently in his free time trying to figure out on his own how to partition his computer to load it on there. So he had like a dead half of his partition that he screwed up because he didn't know how to do it. And this was back like when it first started. So it was a lot harder to partition the drives then, not the easy way that it does now, or the whoopee way, you know. But apparently that, because I was sitting next to him, and they were just like, what the hell did he do to this thing? There was just all kinds of weird stuff on it and tons of like, illegal movies that like, you know, the kind where like sit in the theater and videotape it movies, like the Jerry Seinfeld episode, like those types of movies, like one where like it got pre-released in like Taiwan, you know. I think like Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back was on there, and it was like filmed, and you could, you know, like the subtitles were all in this language that you couldn't read, all kinds of stuff. Why am I talking about that? Oh yeah, because the I forgot where I was going with this, because I'm just, I bet you that's exactly what it is. It's like there's just some person that doesn't know any better and doesn't know that, like, yes, you can, when you're on a network, a controlled network, people know that it's your address, you know. It's so that's my theory, but other than that, it's a pretty funny article. I just it tickled me.
Yeah, and there's all sorts of different things. Like, if you go through on TorrentFrink, like, while drafting SOPA, the U.S. House harbors BitTorrent pirates. I mean, yeah, it's silly. You know, but, you know, I was thinking that we weren't going to have much to say about SOPA this time because Congress is not in session. So it was like, you know, what's going to happen? But we did talk about Wikipedia and some other ones.
Yeah, the ones that were going to shut down. And I kind of am a little disappointed. Now, it sucks that this show comes out a week later, because who knows what's going to happen. Yeah. But so far right now, it's just like, yes, Reddit is going to shut down. Well, great. The people that are actually opposing it won't be able to use Reddit. That's the problem. You know, it's like, no, I wanted it to be all the bigwigs that were going to shut it down. I mean, I think it's great that Reddit is starting this. But so far, they're the only one I've seen confirmed that they're going to do it.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a site dedicated. I wish I knew where the name of the, yeah, okay, here it is, wikipediablackout.com.
So is Wikipedia actually going to go down?
Well, what they're trying to do is they're trying to get people to donate to Wikipedia so that they're not losing money, right, while that they're down, basically.
Oh, okay.
So like they're basically saying, asking people to donate $1, which is not, you know, super much. I think I'm going to donate $10. I mean, not that, like, you know, I'm trying to be high and mighty or anything, but I mean, it's $10. Come on.
Right.
So I think this is a good idea. I mean, if nothing else, you know, people trying to poke people to donate money are going to say, you know, you need to do this because SOPA is bad and Wikipedia is, you know, potentially going to do this to protest SOPA. So it's even if they don't raise a lot of money for Wikipedia, and even if Wikipedia doesn't end up doing the blackout, then I still think it's just a tool to sort of get people to do it. And you're only supposed to pledge to donate to Wikipedia, but I think I'm actually going to go ahead and donate. And I'm sure they have. I haven't gone through the process yet, but in the little process, I'm just going to say, hey, I hope you guys go through with the blackout. This is a little, you know, something, something to.
Right.
So, you know, like I said, I mean, $10 is not going to go a long way for Wikipedia, but I think probably every little bit helps for them.
Yeah.
You know, with any nonprofit, I think any little bit helps. So, you know, hopefully, I mean, I obviously love Wikipedia. So
yes, you do. You've already used it twice in this show.
Yeah. So
you would be hurt the most. So
you mean if anybody in the world?
Blackout, yes. Possibly. Who knows?
No. Probably.
Okay. Anybody in the world that I know.
Okay.
How about that?
That's possibly true. although if it helps to make SOPA not pass, then I will have benefited from it.
True. True.
In the end.
And then there's another link that you pointed out that even MC Hammer is speaking out against it.
Yes. Yes.
While looking at that, I was checking out that article that you just posted, and inside of it, and I actually started seeing these popping up today. So much like when there was the you know, stop them from even considering this thing where you blacked out your headers, and we did that on our site. Today I started seeing profile icons that had that bar, said stop SOPA on their profile pictures and things like that. And if you look in the story for the MC Hammer thing, he also, I saw that there was a link to the Blackout SOPA service that actually does it for you. So what you do is you can do it to your Twitter picture. And then after you that, you can download the profile picture and put it in your, you know, as your Tumblr profile or your Facebook profile or wherever else you have a profile. So while we were doing that, I switched the Lorenzo's Music one to have it. So it's pretty quick and easy to do. So now we have that. As far as I know, I haven't gone to the page yet, but it shows it to me. So if you want to, you can go to blackoutsopa.org, I believe it is. Yes. And change your profile picture to just have that down. It's just a little black bar that it puts at the bottom of it. Not sure what it'll accomplish.
MC Hammer, he is the number one Twitter user that has come out against SOPA. If you look on blackoutsopa.org, it has the top supporters, and they're actually listed in number of followers that they have.
Really?
Yeah, so Tim O'Reilly is number two, and then Evan, the Twitter founder, is number three. Sasha, I don't know who that is. Is that like Sasha Cohen? Like,
I don't know. Wouldn't think so.
He's an investor, Chris Saka, investor in Twitter.
Oh, so investor some rich in
Twitter,
guy.
Twitter, Uber, Instagram, Turntable.fm, and other fun startups. Yeah.
Yeah, some rich guy.
Yeah, well, he's got a lot of of internet.
Sorry, I mean entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Yes, they're called entrepreneurs now.
Yeah.
Well, all I see is there's Flanger Pants and Rimmed chose to use this badge. The Dead Terminator. Those are the names I'm seeing. So it must update because I'm not seeing the names you're seeing on mine. But mine's also on the preview of the badge. And then it says the most recent people who downloaded it.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about
Joey Fatone did.
I'm just on blackoutsopa.org, and I just scrolled down, and it says top supporters.
Oh, there you are. Okay, I see what you're talking about. I was looking at the top of it. Never mind.
Did you have a tool of the week? We kind of haven't really done it because we've been.
No, we did it. I kind of went back on a couple of them. I mean, the thing is last week I did two of them and I've just been using them this week. So I don't really have anything. It was the, I finally figured out the way, because of my drummer, figured out a better way to use Audio Tool.
Yeah, that's right.
And then
we didn't
also
call it Tom's Tool of the Week, though.
That's true. We didn't. But the other one was the Renoise.
We didn't get to play our jingle.
Yeah, exactly. And we paid so much money for it.
I know.
This jingle that we're making up on the spot.
Yeah, now, I should just like record like a hammering a nail or something, and you could just like plug that in there for Tom's Tool of the Week.
Or we could just go da 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 da.
Tool of the Week.
Yeah. Wow. I should almost sample that. That was actually.
We could do both of those together at the same time.
But anyway, man. No, I did.
We also haven't sort of lost the plot at the end of the show in a while, because the last couple of months have been pretty hectic for me. So it's been like, bam, we got to get through all this content. And this week, a little more relaxed.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We are. I almost fell asleep once.
What?
I said I almost fell asleep once. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have a tool, and truthfully, I couldn't remember if we had a guest or not, because I forget, because I know we've had a couple of different reschedules, so I wasn't sure if one of them was hitting today.
Next week,
in theory,
somehow, amazing, if the stars align, Block Sonic will actually be on the show.
Which we hold no ill will.
No.
I mean, it's just...
Well, I mean, if we did, we just wouldn't have him on.
That's true. We'd say, screw that guy, but no, we don't want to say that. But we'll see if it happens.
Yeah, no, hopefully he's on. I mean, you know, it's not hard for us to just do a show. We have the internet, so
we do.
We can magically know things.
For now. Right?
Yes.
Is that ominous enough?
If SOPA doesn't pass,
yeah,
then we continue to have the internet.
That's correct.
I think that's it, Tom.
Yeah. But that's really all I had. I mean, I mean, that's what's going on right now. Other than that, just we had music, we had fun, we had Seasons in the Sun. Although I can't remember the rest of the lyrics. I was going to do the whole thing.
Here we were going to end on this ominous, dark, like, we must stop SOPA note. And now you just...
And then I had to go and recite some crappy disco song from the 70s.
Yes.
That you probably didn't even know what I was saying.
I wouldn't have been able to cite the reference, but I knew it was a reference.
It was. Well, that was good that you at least picked up on that, and you rolled with it. Most people I know wouldn't do that, and I appreciate
that.
What would
they do? They would have just been like, disco sucks!
No.
Fuck everything!
No. They would have just been like, I don't know what you're talking about there.
Did you get my reference?
Kind of. Angry guy? I don't know.
There's a Sick of It All song. Sick of It All is a hardcore New York hardcore band.
Gotcha.
And they've got an album called Live in a Dive. So I don't remember what record label it is, but they have a whole series of live shows.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I think their live recording, the Live in a Dive, Sick of It All, is actually the best recordings of those songs. It's better than their studio mixes. I don't know if it's just the type of music that they play.
That happens a lot.
Does it? Because I think live recordings blow most of the time.
Yeah, but for especially old punk bands, I mean, a lot of the punk bands that I listened to all had live albums too. And not only just one, but like they would do an album or maybe two, and then they'd have a punk out or a live album. And then they'd do another album, possibly two, and then they'd have a live album. And we would know, me and my friends would know all of the crap that was said in between the songs. We would know the versions and the things they changed in that one. And we would know, like, we would be able to, you know, we would like to listen to both versions. Whereas most of the time when I hear live stuff, I hate it when people don't do it right. You know, like, oh, that's not how you do it on the album. So stop doing it that way. Whereas on punk albums, it was awesome. Because, well, first of all, it's three chords anyway, usually half the time, and a bunch of, you know, usually you can hear everybody a lot better on the live one because everybody's trying to be so goddamn loud. So that's, I don't know. I always enjoyed those a little bit more. And also because they would have a sound engineer, whereas most of the punk albums I listen to would just be like a four track. And so they'd have like way more mics and stuff like that on the stage.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Just trivia fact for Sick of It All. They toured with Korn in Korn's early days.
Really?
In like 1994 or something like that. Yeah.
My only knowledge of Korn is from what I saw on a pop-up video episode, which actually just aired recently. I'm just saying that's the only stuff that I know about Korn other than, like, I've heard two of their songs. And I don't know what the names of them are. But I miss pop-up video.
If you listen to the first Korn album, you might understand why that they were touring with a hardcore band. But if you listen to anything after that, the first two albums.
Well, they seem a lot more metal to me. But you and I also have, like, you've continued to listen to punk, whereas I still picture punk the way it used to be a little bit more. Well, depending, and we've also had the conversation about the difference between punk and hardcore. Anyway, I don't know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, well, the thing about Korn initially was that they tuned so low. And they also used a 7-string guitar.
Soundgarden used to tune pretty low, impossible to play. Soundgarden did
that. But did they use seven-string guitars?
Not that I know of, but they used to do it where they would tune, one of them would actually stay in E and the other one would tune down to D or C. So that way they would get more of a crunchier sound and they would all get more of a dissonant sound because they would be in different tunings.
You know, you can't play it with a 6-string guitar because they got 7 strings.
Right.
That's the thing. And so that's,
oh my God, you're using the Spinal Tap argument, but this one goes to 11. In a sense, you can't do it because it has one string more.
Well, if you use all of the strings, unless you want to like retune it on the fly in the middle of your live recording, middle of your live performance, I mean, you could do that. Would be amazing. I would like to see video of that.
I would too. Okay.
If anybody has any Creative Commons artists that use 7-string guitars, send it to us. We'll play it. Stop Sopa.
Yes. Also, Stop Sopa. So. I almost wish that could have been the thing. Okay, Stop Sopa. And then we would stop the show.
Well, that's what we were doing before with your ominous thing.
Well, then let's do it now.
Let's do it, damn it.
All right, so that's all we got. Thank you.
That's another Korn reference, actually.
Oh, see, I didn't get that one. I just thought it was funny. So thank you for joining us for another Music Manumit at musicmanumit.com. Stop Sopa.